All right, let's take our Bibles together, the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. We'll continue what we started last time together, Ephesians chapter 4, concerning what we named the seven unities listed here in the book of Ephesians, really almost a creed of Christianity, a summarization of what Christianity is all about. And we started in verse 4 of chapter 4 last time and covered those three things. And there's four left in verses 5 and 6, and we want to get to those today together. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 4 together. Ephesians 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." God will bless His Word. Would you pray and ask God to speak to your heart today through His Word? Father, we're so privileged to have a copy of the Bible today. And we pray, Lord, it just wouldn't be in our hands, but that it would be in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us what we need to know. Lord, these things are just fundamental basic truths of Christianity that every believer ought to know, ought to be able to communicate to a lost and dying world as well. And I pray You'd help us today to understand these principles of our Christian faith. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd also speak to us practically, that what we say we believe may come forth from our lives. And we do ask, if there's someone here in our service today that does not know that they have eternal life, and Lord, they're not sure where they would spend eternity if they were to die today, I pray today You would speak to their heart, show them their need of Christ, and they would come humble their heart and receive Jesus before it's too late. We'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name we ask You. Amen. Well, last time we looked at the one body, the one spirit, and the one hope, and we saw that that one body was Christ's body. That one spirit was the spirit of Christ. And the one hope of our calling is that Christ is our hope. It's all situated and centered in His person. Well, He's going to continue with that, though He's going to give you some other information in verse 5. He says there's one Lord, one Lord. He also says there's one God in verse 6. Now, we told you last time when we were together that these things are not just one numerically, they're one in importance. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 as you hold your finger there? Because there are many gods, there are many lords, there are many faiths, there are many hopes that people have. But there's only one true God, there's only one true Lord, and one true faith, and one true hope in all these things. And so we're finding from the Bible that we need to make sure that our one Lord is the one Lord of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 5, he puts it this way, "For though there be that are called gods," notice the little g, you know, I'm glad that I have a Bible that not only has all the words in it, but it knows when to capitalize words. Isn't that great? He says, "though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth." Now look at your phrase in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 8. "As there be gods many and lords many." Well, the Bible says there's one God and one Lord. What does this mean? Well, there are many gods with a little g and there are many lords with a little l. But look at verse 6. "But to us," you see, not to the rest of the world or to the majority of the population of society, but to us, we that know Christ is our Savior, we who count ourselves as among the redeemed of the Lord. He says in verse 6, "But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." So the Bible is very clear. You just because you name a God doesn't mean it's the one true God. Doesn't even mean it's real. You know, they had all types of gods in the Old Testament, but they passed away. You know, our society, our world today has a lot of different gods, but they're all going to pass away as well. They have many things that they let control their lives. And when we look back at our text at this next unity, the fourth one, one Lord, one Lord. I want to remind you what the word Lord means. In the Bible, when God uses this word Lord, He's speaking of authority. He's speaking of dominion. He's speaking of rulership. Now, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, but He's also the Lord of all men. Matter of fact, over and over in this epistle in Ephesians, as we've been seeing, the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, you can't read the New Testament without coming across that phrase over and over again. That ought to be a phrase on your mouth. That ought to be a phrase in your heart. When Paul preached many times, and when all the great preachers of the Bible were preaching, they were preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, putting Him in His place, exalting Him, making sure that His authority, His dominion, His rulership are put in the appropriate place. He's the Lord. Now, we've heard this before. You need to come and make Jesus Lord. That is a incorrect statement. You'll never be able to make Jesus Lord because He's Lord without you making Him Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, He's already the Lord. Now, He may not be your Lord. You may have a little Lord that's ruling your life. You may have a little Lord that's controlling you. But He is the Lord. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing can diminish that. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask, what controls you today? You know, a lot of people who their Lord is, it's not Jesus, it's their friends. Some people, their job is their Lord. It dictates what they do. It rules over their life. It rules over their heart. For some people, it's a family member that's a Lord. Or a child that's the Lord of their life. Or that controls. Now remember, we're talking about control. When we use the word Lord, we're talking about control and authority. What controls what your life? What is the authority over your life? There is one Lord. There should only be one Lord in control of your life. But that's not the way it goes many times. Many people are controlled by the almighty dollar. That's their Lord. Some people are controlled by their politics. Or they're controlled by some other organization they join. Or they're controlled by some hobby or habit that they like. Or they're controlled by society norms, what people say they ought to do or ought to believe. But the Bible says there's only one Lord Jesus Christ, and He should control your life. He's the one that should be in authority over your life. And I'd say this, if we have the same Lord, that Lord is not going to tell you to do something, not going to tell me to do. In other words, what I'm saying is, if we have the same Lord, it ought to produce the same type of life within us. You understand? In other words, if we've got the same authority, He's not going to make different rules for you than He'd make for me. He's not going to have different desires for you than He has for me. He wants us to please Him. He wants us to do right. There's one Lord, and it ought to bring forth those that name the name of Christ an obedience to Him and a certain life that He wants us to live as our Lord. Now, why is He the Lord? Why does He get this place? Hold your finger, go all the way back to Deuteronomy. That word Lord has so much connected with it. And the first reason I want to show you that Jesus Christ is declared to be the Lord, or He is the one Lord, the only Lord that counts, is in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, the Bible says this. Big verse. Deuteronomy 6 4, the Word of God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Now, why is He the Lord? Because verse 4 says, because He's God. In other words, the Lord should have authority, dominion, control, rulership of my life because He's God. He's deity. And if He's God, then He's the one that should be in charge. That's why people try to be their own God. That's why people try to have other gods before the Lord, because they don't want God to be the one in control of their life. But the Bible says the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one Lord is because He's God. The same Lord of the New Testament is the same Lord of the Old Testament. Because there's just one Lord that matters. You see that in that verse.
Deuteronomy 6:4, one Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, one Lord. They're the same because Jesus Christ is God. And His deity ought to bring forth the place of His right over my life because He made me. God that made all the world should have authority, control, dominion over my life. He's my Lord by a very act of creation. Because He's God, He ought to be able to tell me what to do. And people that will not let God, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell them what to do is someone that's trying to fabricate their own God. No one made you but the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. All things were made by Him, the Bible says. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The Bible says God created all things by Jesus Christ. If He's the Creator, then He should have the control. He should have the dominion. He should have the rulership. Humanity is living in rebellion to the Creator. And we expect that from a lost world. But you ought to expect something different from we who claim the one Lord to be our Lord and our God. He ought to have the rights of my life. He ought to have the keys. I hate losing my keys. You know, I'm very vulnerable when I lose my keys. I lost them yesterday. I did. I just, you know, when you lose your keys, you're just at a disadvantage. I was supposed to go out on visitation. Well, it's hard to go on visitation without any keys. My family, people sitting in the car waiting on me. I don't have any keys. When you don't have the keys, you don't have the, I didn't have the authority. I didn't have the control to be able to go where I wanted to go because I couldn't start my car. And let me ask you a question. Who's got the keys to your life? Who starts your life and stops your life? Who opens the door and shows the way for you to walk in it? And who shuts the door and says, no, don't go there? Who has the keys? Who has the authority? Who has the control? You say, well, preacher, I'm in church this morning, so Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's got the keys of my life. That's not necessarily true. There are people all over the country this morning that are in church that the Lord Jesus Christ is no more in control of their life than the man on the moon. Who's got the control? Who is Lord of your heart? Who controls your will and your desires and your emotions? Jesus Christ, I say, is the Lord because of His deity. He's God. He's the one Lord of the Old Testament. Look again. Look at Acts chapter 2. Why? Why should Jesus Christ have control of my life? Why has He been made the Lord of all? Not just because of His deity, but because of His death. Because of His death. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Why? Because of His death. Do you remember the great text in Philippians? Philippians chapter 2, the great text in Philippians. About how Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. He says in Philippians 2 verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then He says, wherefore? Because of that death, because of that humility, because of that selfless sacrifice for the souls of men, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Why? Why does He get to be the one Lord? Because He's God. Why does He get to be the one Lord? Because He's the only one that would have been willing to lay down His life like He laid down His life for us. And that selfless sacrifice, that bloody death for me, gives Him the right to be my Lord. Gives Him the privilege to rule all things. Because nobody would have done what Jesus did. And the Bible says God's exalted Him. Yeah, He's the Lord. And every tongue's going to confess that. And every knee's going to bow. You say, what about people that hate Him? They're going to bow to Him one day.
People say, well, they've cremated themselves and their ashes thrown out in the sea. God's gonna bring those bodies all back together. I remind you, God knows where all the atoms are. He knows where all the protons and the neutrons are. He's the one that creates matter. He's the one that can get all matter back together. And the Bible says one day small and great's gonna stand before God and they're all gonna bow the knee. Those that have cursed Him, those that lived without Him, those that never thought about Him, those that lived separate from Him and blasphemed His name. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, you are the Lord. Why? Because He died for creation. He created creation. And He deserves the title. Oh, I don't deserve the title of that. Why would I give the keys or control of my life to anyone else who did not die for me? You understand that? Why would I try to control my life? I don't even have my own best interest at heart many times. You can see that. People live lives of self-mutilation. People live lives of self-destruction. But Jesus Christ, He's the one that loved us and gave Himself for us. If there is anybody you can trust with the controls, it's the Lord Jesus Christ by virtue that He laid down His life for you. Why is He the one Lord? His deity. His death. And then He's the Lord just because of His sheer power. You don't want to put anybody in charge that can't take care of things. You know, have you ever done that? Have you ever left something in charge of somebody and they just made a mess of it? Because they didn't have the power or the ability to take care of what needed to be taken care of. You know, Jesus Christ has so much power. He has power to save. That's why Acts 16:31, Paul the Apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He has power to save. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells, I already quoted, that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confesseth and made salvation. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in that heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why is Jesus the Lord? He is the only one that has that type of power. He has the power to save. He has all power in heaven and earth. Why shouldn't He be the Lord? Why shouldn't He be in control? He's the only one that can handle it. Listen, guys. Jesus is the only one that can handle your life. He's the only one that's got the power to save you from hell and save you from your sins and save you from yourself. Just give Him the keys. One Lord. Why? Because of His deity, because of His death, because of His power. And then I would say also because of His judgment. You ought to recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord because the Bible says that God's committed all judgment unto the Son. And the Bible says that God gave assurance unto all men by that one man who would judge all men in that He raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. You better recognize Jesus Christ as the Lord because of His judgment. He's the one. His determination is the one that matters. He makes the final determination upon all things. What's right? He's not only the Lord over creation. He's not only the Lord over death. He's not only the Lord over sin, the power to save. He's the Lord over all men. And He will make the final determination about all of our lives. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to judge the quick and the dead. He's the judge of all men. That's why He's the Lord. He is the Lord. You better recognize His authority over you. Because all of us are going to answer to Him. One Lord. Well, I'm glad I know Jesus is the one Lord. Well, does He have control? Does He have dominion? Does He have rulership? Go back to our text. We have to move to the next thing. He says one Lord. And then He says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, He says one faith. One faith. Now, we know that people have faith and belief in a lot of things. Some people believe in evolution. Some have faith in science. Some have faith in religion. Some have faith in themselves. Some people have faith in their works or their church membership. Some people have faith in different types of movements, social movements. Some people have faith in the environment. They have faith in the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus or Disney World or Hollywood. Yeah, people have all kind of faith. People put their confidence in a million things. Some people have faith in superstitions. Others have faith in things they don't even know about, yet they make them up. Some people have faith in UFOs. They worship UFOs. Whole world's talking about UFOs. It's going to be more. It's going to be more. Anything but believe God, you see. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. That's what it says. But the Word of God says all men have not faith. And certainly when we talk about faith, we're not talking about a generic faith. Because again, put your think cap on. He says one faith. That's not just a generic faith in God. That's a specific faith. Remember, everything we've talked about in all of these unities has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? There's one body. It's Christ's body. There's one Spirit. It's Christ's Spirit. There's one hope. Jesus Christ is the hope. There's one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one faith is not faith in a generic God or an architect of the universe, but it's a specific faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. It says that we preach repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the bedrock of our Christianity, Acts 20:21. It's not faith in a God. It's faith in the God-man, Jesus Christ, who loved me, gave Himself for me, and died for me. Jesus Christ deserves our confidence, deserves our trust. We ought to put our faith in Him, and that's the only place that man can put their faith. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This one faith, the purpose of this Bible, is trying to get mankind to put their faith and trust in one, in a person. Not in a movement, not in a religion, not in yourself, but put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of this Bible when you hear it. So you'll trust Him. So you'll trust Him. Not just with your soul, but you'll trust Him every moment of the day. Examine how many things are connected to our faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. We could not be saved if we did not put faith, the one faith, in the person of Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. What a word, justified. That means He declares you righteous. You know what? Nobody in here is righteous. Nobody. But the Bible says, if you'll put faith in Jesus Christ, He will declare you righteous. He will count your faith in His Son as your righteousness. He'll impute it to you. He'll count it to you because you put faith in Him. The Bible says that our righteousness, for righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But the righteousness which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, Romans 3:22. I'm a child of God by faith. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26. How many things are rooted in my faith in Christ? The purification of my heart. They had a big conference in Acts 15. Some of them were saying, hey, you know, people need to be circumcised or do this and do that. And Peter stood up and said, hey, there's no difference. God purifies our hearts by faith. The only way we can be purified in our hearts, it's so deceitful. It's so desperately wicked. You want a clean heart this morning? You'll have to put faith in Jesus Christ to get a purified heart. Faith, one faith that purifies your heart. The Bible says we're sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. Acts 26:18. The Bible says in Romans 5:2 that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You only have access to God by faith. We don't have access to God by our family tradition or our heritage or our religion or our church. But we have access to God by faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God that lives in me this morning. Galatians 3:14. The Bible says the promise of the Spirit was given to me by faith. All these things that happened to me, just because I put my faith in Jesus. Look, You may have to live a long time to come to this conclusion. But there is really only one person you can have confidence in. That's Jesus. There is only one place to put your faith. Not in your country, not in your church, or your denomination, or your family. All of that stuff might let you down. You put your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. He never changes. He'll never let you down. He is the one place that deserves your faith. And yet, how many of us put our faith in Christ for the salvation of our soul? But we can't trust Him for the little bitty things of tomorrow. Oh, preacher, yeah, I'm justified by faith. I'm saved by faith. I'm sanctified, purified. Praise the Lord, have access to God. I know where I put my faith. Well, then why do we have so little of it? How many times did Jesus come to the disciples and said, "Oh, ye of little faith"? How many more miracles do I have to do for you guys to trust me? I mean, do I need to part the Red Sea like Moses? I mean, I calm the sea. Do I need to send down manna from heaven? I broke the bread and multiplied it to thousands of people just from a little basket. What else do I raise the dead? I healed the sick. What else do I need to do to impress you that you need to trust me? Oh, guys, I tell you what. I think the more religion goes on, the dimmer and dimmer Christ gets to some people. The more you live your life, the more you ought to understand, I can trust Him. I can't count on anything, but I can count on Jesus. He's my one faith. And I'm going to root it and ground it in Him. And I'm going to trust Him for every passing situation of my life. I'm going to humble my heart for Him, one faith. Where's your faith this morning? My faith looks up to Thee, our hymn book says, Thou Lamb of Calvary. Savior divine. Isn't that why we pray? Because we believe He hears us. Because we believe He can help us. A sinner needs to believe He can save him. And a Christian needs to believe Him that he can walk by that faith in the Son of God. Paul said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Hurriedly, would you go back to our text? There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. You see, why did God put that in there? Because He wanted to. It's all important. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says that's one of the foundations of the Christian faith. And if you don't know about the many baptisms, Hebrews 6:2, you don't understand many doctrinal things. We live in a day where people go to church, but they don't know the Bible very well. You say, well, that's hard to understand. No, it's not hard to understand. If you were here through all that preaching, how many of you remember when we preached through 1 Peter? 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible talks about baptism doth also now save us. Remember that? That's one baptism. But that has nothing to do with water, because there are many baptisms. I'm not going to re-preach that whole message. But I will say this. The one baptism is not baptism in a pool of dirty water or chlorinated water. That can't do anything but make you wet. Yep. Amen. The one baptism isn't baby baptism. Right. God forbid. Most of the world is entranced with baptism of babies. They think that makes them a Christian. They think that's the one baptism. Let me say this. Knowing what the one baptism is so important that if you miss it, you'll go to hell. There's a whole church that surrounds, a whole denomination that surrounds this part of the country that thinks that one baptism is baptism in water. The one baptism is not the baptism of the Church of Alexander Campbell. I don't like to call it the Church of Christ. I like to call it the Church of Alexander Campbell because that's the one that started that mess, you see. You say, why do you mention that? Because people go to hell believing because some preacher put them under the water that they're in the family of God. It's not baptism into water. Remember, everything we've talked about in this text is about Christ. Amen. The body is Christ. Right? The spirit is Christ. The hope is Christ. The Lord is Christ. The faith is Christ.
And the baptism is into Christ, Romans chapter 6. It's not into water, and it's not done by a man, it's done by the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Has the Spirit of God ever put you into Jesus Christ? You say, how did that happen? It happened spiritually, and it happened when you put the faith, amen, in the one Lord, amen. And the one Spirit came, and put you in that one body, and then it gave you a one hope. It's all connected.
Amen.
It's not a baptism into a denomination. There's only one baptism that has to do with your salvation. It's a baptism into Jesus. You can get into anything you want to get into. You better get into Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, our Bible in Acts chapter 8, when someone came and said, hey, what doth hinder me to be baptized? I want to get baptized in water. They said, well, you can't. We don't just baptize just anybody. We only baptize people that are first baptized into Jesus. We'll only baptize you into water if you've been baptized into Jesus. Acts chapter 8. If you believe with all your heart, you may. One baptism. Lastly, would you go to our text? He says, one God. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. As we come to this last one, we are joined with this great Trinity. You've got God the Father in verse 6. You've got the one Lord Jesus Christ in verse 5, who is God the Son. And verse 4, we have that one Spirit, the Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost. The Word of God showed us that great 3-in-1, that great Trinity in Ephesians 2. Would you look there, verse 18? He had all three of them together there as well. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, that's Jesus Christ in the context, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit, there's the Spirit of God, unto the Father. So God the Son and God the Spirit and God the Father in the same verse. This is the one God, you see. There is one God and there's one Father. Now again, just like the rest of these, there's a lot of different fathers, right? I mean, you got your earthly father. Some people have stepfathers, right? Some people have father-in-laws. Some people have different spiritual fathers. Jesus said in John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. Everybody doesn't have the same father. There's only one father that counts. There's only one father of the saints to whom this is written, Ephesians 1:1. But people have a lot of different fathers. A lot of different fathers. But the question is God your father? God can be your creator, but not your father. He is the father of all the saints. He's the father of all that have put their one faith in the one Lord and been filled with that one Spirit. They become His children by that faith. We're talking about the makeup of Christianity. As becoming to Christ makes God my father. There's only one Father that counts. There's only one Heavenly Father. There's only one Holy Father. That's why Jesus in Matthew 23:9 says, call no man Father upon earth. For one is your Father which is in heaven. There's only one Heavenly Father. There's only one Father that counts. When Jesus was praying in John 17, how did He address His Father? He called Him Holy Father. One of the most blasphemous things that man ever did was call some guy that sits on a throne in Rome, Holy Father. That is a title that has only been reserved for God the Father. And for any man to let someone call them a Holy Father is the height of satanic blasphemy. I never forget, man. I was in overseas, you know, we're missionaries, and these guys started coming up to me and calling. They didn't know what a pastor was. All they had seen is priest. And they started calling me Father. I said, no, no, no. I'm not your daddy. Right? There's only one Heavenly Father. There's only one Holy Father. And that one God and Father, the Bible says, of all, who is above all, He is above all in His position where He lives up in the third heaven. He is above all in His moral, in His morality and transcending every moral code of man. He is above all in His ability and power that there is nothing too hard for Him. He is above all, and the Bible says He's through all. What He's wanting to do is work through His children and wanting to work through this world to point all people to His Son, the Father of all, above all, through all. That's not pantheism. That's God working in His saints. And in you all, is the Father in you?
You know, the Bible says that group of unbelievers, if they come to church. Now listen now. In 1 Corinthians 14, he says, if those unbelievers come to church and they watch you just by the preaching, they ought to look at you and they ought to report that God is in you of a truth. Do people know that God the Father is in you?
Can they see God in your life? That one Father is trying to show Himself through us. But the sad thing is, most people have another God. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. The gods of the New Age, the gods of mammon, the gods of worshiping the creature more than the Creator, the gods of people's pets, the gods of the cults, the gods of people's families and their kids, the gods that all people make, that they adore and they worship and they behold. And God says, no other gods before Me. I'm the one God that ought to be important in your life. Because there's only one God and Father. And why does He mean more to us?
Let me ask you something. Christianity, everything and the whole purpose for we are here and for why we live should be rooted in Christ. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism into our Lord Jesus Christ, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one that is in control. All of these things are rooted in Him. Now how, if all those one things make up the unity of our Christian faith, how can we live our lives like He doesn't matter? How can we live our lives of Him not having preeminence and first place? Because everything about our faith is rooted in Jesus. Are you a Christian? Or do you just go to church? Are you a Christian? Or is your life all about Jesus Christ?
Everything we're doing here, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not trying to build a denomination or church. It's not trying to impress people. It's not trying to be a success. We're trying to sing about Jesus Christ and preach about Jesus Christ and witness about Jesus Christ and live for Jesus Christ and have Jesus Christ live His life through us. Amen. That we would give praise and honor and glory to His person so He can look down on this little dirt ball of the planet and say, yes, I'm their one Lord.